Just beautiful. Just like God has provided us here with a beautiful feast. We've been looking forward to this for a long time, and now we're here. This is a fabulous feast site, and it's wonderful that God has provided us a place to meet together, to worship Him. Happy feast. There's a memory that's seared in my mind that I can't forget, and I'd like to share it with you. It was 72 degrees, white fluffy clouds, negative ions in the air. Those are the good ones that make you feel good. Gentle breeze blowing up, small waves created by these gentle breeze on Lake Pelican in Orr, Minnesota. I was working in the canoeing department, and I was taking care of my three-year-old son. My wife was there, but she was working in the warehouse preparing for all the trips that would go out into the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. I had a few minutes between, and I had a beautiful cabin that was right on the water overlooking the canoeing beach, about 100 feet away from the beach, and we had a TV. Now at camp, that was unheard of, but for some reason, where we stayed, we had a TV. And do you know how valuable a TV is when you have a three-year-old and you're trying to work full-time? Well, we had 15 minutes of break time before I had to go down and do open canoeing. My son, Andrew, was sitting there, and we were watching The Magic School Bus. I don't know how many of you know what it is, but it's an educational program. And when it got time for me to head down to the beach, I asked my son, "Do you want to stay here and finish watching The Magic School Bus, or do you want to come down with the beach with me, with the kids?" "I want to stay here, Dad. I want to finish the show." So I said, "Okay. Now, the door's open, just a screen door's there. All you have to do is call out my name, Dad, and I'll be here. If you need anything, call out my name. Thanks." Let me clearly say what an emotional tank is by example of a child. When you meet a little child that's 2 years old, if you're at church or wherever you are, and you say, "Well, hello," and all of a sudden they turn to their mother and they hold on to them like a barnacle to a ship. The squeezing as tight as they can to fill their emotional tank is amazing. The desire to have that emotional tank filled is so important. Now, if you want to know how to talk to little children, you have to realize this emotional tank. You don't want to drain it. Once it's been drained, I'm sorry, they're not going to talk to you, they're not going to look at you. And I was thinking, when Mr. McCready was talking about Mr. Hand's baritone voice, Mr. Hand stands this tall, he has a deep, deep voice. Imagine you're a child at 2 years old and you're looking up at this huge giant. They say, "Hello, how are you?" Immediately, their tank has been drained. Well, so what can you do to help avoid that? You can get down on the child's level. You can talk to them and look at them in their eye and say, "Hello." Right eye to eye. Immediately stop and stand up and stand away. Why? Because you're new to them and you'll empty their tank quite quickly. Okay, so then you need to spend time. There's no way that we can encourage one another without spending time with each other. The more time you devote to someone else, the more likely it is that you can be a source of encouragement to them. So I work hard at church and elsewhere to build up a relationship with children. You know, I think that's one of the best kept secrets, is the fact that we spend a lot of money effectively on literature, and we have something called a cost per response. How would you like to have a zero cost for 100% response? Is that incredible? You can do that every day at church, every day here at the feast, because all of these little children that are here, they're all called by God. They're all sanctified. So, if you want to get a response from a potential member, what I'm talking about is not just talking to people out there. You don't know how many lives you're touching or how many are actually being called by God or who is supposed to get the message, but I can tell you someone who's supposed to get the message. That's our children. So the young ones out there, when you go and meet a parent, it's wonderful. If a child is standing next to them, let's not ignore them. You know, I would like to say they're probably more important for you to focus on than actually the adult who's already converted in here. Okay? So, let's not forget probably half of our congregation when we meet them. I'll tell you about one that was in my church area. There's been several, but I worked with him a long time. His name is Jude, and he's here today. And is Jude asleep? Could you hold him up? I don't know if you can see Jude back there, but he's 2 years old. He has curly blonde hair. One of the cutest little kids that you can meet. Okay. Yeah, I just emptied his emotional tank. Sorry about that. No, I'll tell you, I spent a little bit of time with him, and he was shy. A little bit more time, he got less shy. He got less and less shy. There comes a point when you become a source of encouragement. One of my proudest moments, and you may think this is simple, but to me it's so important. I became one of Jude's sources of emotional encouragement. I came to church and he looked at me, gave me the biggest smile, and ran over to get a hug from me. You know who fills his tank the most is his parents. And you know they spend so much time and they love him. For him to be able to get away from his parents 15, 20 feet away and rush up and give me the best hug and a smile is just wonderful. My daughter is here, and before I came up, I was had some butterflies, and she came over and gave me a big hug. She was filling my emotional tank. How do we fill others' emotional tanks? What can we do? How can we become that source of encouragement? To become a source of encouragement, we must invest time in others. You know, as parents, the more time you invest with your children, the more you have an effect on their lives. The same thing is with us as adults. Do you meet people when you're here? Do you introduce yourself? Are you excited? You know, sometimes it just takes a smile to encourage someone else. I've decided that this should be the happiest place on earth. Not Disneyland, but right here at the feast. Because we all should be experienced and encouraging. God's feast pictures a time when all the world will be called, when all the world will need more encouragement than we can imagine. They've just come through some of the most horrendous events in the world. They've seen death. When they first come into the kingdoms, they don't need people who are practicing to become sources of encouragement. They need experienced encouragers. Let's learn how to become those experienced encouragers. Smiling, talking to people. This should be a great encouragement to others. There are many ways to serve and to show encouragement to others, and I'm going to cover them in detail a little bit later. But please realize that God is the chief encourager. God gives us encouragement in just the right way, at just the right time. Sabbath, holy days, specifically this Feast of Tabernacles. And why do I say specifically the Feast of Tabernacles? Because God gives us 7, 8, and some of you have come early and some of you that stay late, even more days to experience encouragement like you can't the rest of the year. It's not just about being at the feast that's a source of encouragement. Some of you, my family especially, has been dreaming about this feast, thinking about this feast for a long time. How much encouragement does that give? How many times when you're down, if you could just think about the feast is coming up, and you think about what's going to happen at the feast? What an encouragement God has given to us. You know, God commands us to rejoice. I honestly can't see it as a command. Just like gravity, if I drop something, God has created a law. When it's dropped, it will fall. What about attending the feast? What about keeping the feast the way God's asked us to keep the feast? If we keep the feast the way He's told us, it's an automatic law that you will have to rejoice. You can't help from doing it. You can't help from celebrating. And some people define that celebration time that God tells us to celebrate at the feast as a command. Oh, yeah, as we've heard before, you have to celebrate. It's impossible to say it that way, isn't it? When you're at the feast, it's impossible not to celebrate. And how should we help others to celebrate this feast? We should become a source of encouragement. I'm going to read in Matthew 6:25. In Matthew 6:25. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air and do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you worry and add a single hour to your life? Cast out all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7. An anxious heart weighs a man down, Proverbs 12:25. All of these things I'm talking about, worrying and being anxious, those are tank drainers. God tells us to forget those things. When is a better time that we could get rid of all of our anxieties and our worries than at the Feast of Tabernacles? He's created that environment for us because he loves us, because he's the great encourager. God gives us what we need. He gives us feast days and the knowledge of his plan. I don't know if anyone could tell you something more encouraging than explaining God's plan of salvation for man, for us, but also at the Feast of Tabernacles, for all of mankind to experience God's law, God's rule, God's kingdom. We try to prepare and have the kingdom of God and see what it's going to like, a practice, if you may, Feast of Tabernacles. We try to do that at our camps. Oh, do we have wonderful camps. I cried whenever the camp in Orr, Minnesota was sold. I spent 17 summers up there. I thought, how in the world could we ever give our youth something like what they've experienced here in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area? And then I started attending the United Feast sites all over the country. I've attended several of them. And I found out the place has nothing to do with encouragement, loving God, or God loving you. Wherever he places people that are his followers, that is where he places his name, and that is where you'll find encouragement. The camps are like a microcosm of the kingdom of God, and anytime kids are going to or fro, they're singing, they're joyful. When they go to sport events, there's no one booing, no one unhappy. They don't play practical jokes on one another that's not very practical, and not a joke on the person that's being played on. Insults are completely discouraged, if not eliminated. They are experienced the same thing you can experience here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Won't it be wonderful when we don't have to spend any money on door locks, on security, when we don't have to spend money on soldiers and forces? How much more good could people do for one another if they didn't have to spend a lot of their life protecting themselves? The world tomorrow is going to be so incredible. We have a time here to be able to have a taste of that. We planned for and thought about the feast. That's a great source of encouragement. Keeps refilling my emotional tank, not only before, not only during, but even after the feast. When things get rough and I sit down and sigh and start thinking back to the feast that I had before, or a feast I had in the past. And I think about the feast that I attended in Fiji, a third world country, but I don't know if I've ever seen a happier people than the Fijians. They didn't have anything. They didn't have doors on their houses. They didn't have windows in many of the houses. A third world country, and I saw a lot of them just enjoying themselves listening to music on the side of the road. I said, how can some of the people be out there, grown men, sitting on the side of the road at this time of day? And a native told me, he says, well, you got to realize, in Fiji, you only have to walk about 50 feet, and there's three different types of fruit trees. They have low anxiety and low worries. Those of us that think that we have a wonderful, and we do, we're all rich that are in America. You're basically rich. And the fact is that there are many Americans, too many, that are unhappy. Where can those people benefit and gain happiness? Well, of course, first is following God's laws. And again, like I said, a law is automatic. The results of the law are automatic. The more we follow God and obey Him, the happier we'll be. The more joy can be in your life. The more likely it is that your emotional tank will be filled, and at that time, there's nothing that can stop us. When our emotional tanks are completely filled, we have the opportunity to serve other people in incredible ways. You know the scripture that says, don't grow weary in well-doing? If your emotional tank is full, that's the time that you are not weary. But if we are torn down, if we are worn out, if we are tired, all of these things indicate the same thing. We're embarrassed to show it. We try to hide it as much as we can, but it comes out. When my emotional tank is running dry, I'm very short with people. My smile is not there. And sometimes I get upset easily when my emotional tank is drained. At that time, we must return to the tank, the almighty tank of emotional encouragement, our source, and that is God. God provides it in so many different ways. When Christ left, He said, while I'm with you, you don't need the Comforter. Because He was the source of energy. He was the source of encouragement. But when He left, He said, I will send the Comforter. And what is the Comforter for? It's not rocket science. It's to comfort us. And if we're comforted by God, you're going to be encouraged. We need to maintain that connection to God and be as close to Him as possible, even at this feast where there is so much encouragement around us. We need to not forget our prayers each day. We need to not forget that maybe we should review the notes at night that you had at the sermon or sermonette. Maybe we need to remember and reflect every single day and thank God with your whole heart that He provides us with a wonderful place to meet for the Feast of Tabernacles. Our emotional tanks can be filled by attending the services. God gives us Sabbath services. Yes, He gives us feast days. And a Feast of Tabernacles is a multi-day feast. But you can't receive the encouragement God wants for you unless you're there. There are some people that wake up in the morning, and I'm not saying this is completely wrong, but maybe on a Sabbath day they wake up and they just feel tired. Not sick, just tired. And they probably know why they're tired. But how can you be lifted up? How can your emotional tank be filled? It's already half on empty because it's discouraging you from being able to attend. At the first night, Mr. McCready talked about how do we keep the feast properly. And he said, basically, in moderation. Even here, where God tells us to rejoice and eat what you want to eat and do what you want to do, it's perfectly all right if you have one night that you're going to stay up late and do something with friends that you haven't seen for a long time. But if you do that a second night and a third night, you know the most likely result. You won't show up here. You won't be here to receive encouragement that's bound for you. I want to receive all the encouragement I can get. I love encouragement, I love being encouraged, and I love people when my tank is full. I love being around people. Not all of us are that way. Some of us like to be alone, and that's when our tank is filled more, and we can go out and be friendly and smile to others. God has done His part. He has provided a place for us to rejoice and an understanding that we can rejoice in the plan of God. And now, what part do we play? We are to rejoice. Rejoice with our family. Rejoice with friends, brethren. And talk about the feast days while we're here. to our children, to others, and their meaning. Look over the scriptures, sermon notes, and take time to pray. You need your emotional tank filled? Pray and ask God for that. If you need other people to help you to fill your emotional tank, pray God for that. Thank God every time it happens. Don't overdo it so you're too tired. Don't deplete your emotional tank. So God gives us encouragement, and He tells us to celebrate. And when we look on that celebration, we should know what that means. It's not exactly a command. You don't have to look at it that way. It's an automatic result from a law He's given us. I'm going to read in Leviticus 23, which you've already heard while you've been here. Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. You will celebrate it. Verse 41. You will celebrate it. Are we celebrating the feast? Are we happy to be here? Are we enjoying ourselves? Are we enjoying the company that we have? Do we love our family? Yes, we do. I visited a family that has a house up in the mountains nearby here. A beautiful family. Parents, children, grandparents, and a sister that lived right down the road, and she's about due in 3 weeks. So she's excited with her new husband, and hopefully she'll be able to make it through the feast. But if not, there's a wonderful joy at the end of her journey. But she did come to the feast to enjoy it with her family. They are together with each other, and they were so happy. What a wonderful example of how to keep the feast. They're encouraging one another. They get to spend time with each other, even though some of them live good distances away. Deuteronomy 16 and 14 and 16. You don't have to turn there because we have read these also at this feast. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. In the millennium, all will eventually celebrate this feast we're now keeping. We're learning now how to teach others to enjoy their feast. How good of a job are we doing? I hope your emotional tanks are full to the brim and overflowing. If they're not, I hope someone will encourage you today to do that. I hope you'll go and pray that God will fill those emotional tanks so that we can walk in bubbling over. And when you're walking by people, I hope you'll see every single person smiling as you walk by them. Some of us, it's harder to do than others. And as a matter of fact, as I'll mention in a little bit, I'll go ahead and tell you right now. Some of you that know me, you know I'm a hugger. And I have my emotional tank filled with a hug. It's very interesting that there are several people that don't enjoy hugs, and you have to be realize and have to know who those people are. If you can't read people, you may not want to give them a hug. There was a man like that in our church, and I read him. I felt quite well, and I would shake his hand every day, and everybody else that came into church, I gave him a hug. Do you know, not too long later, he came up to me and said, Kevin, I think it'd be all right if you give me a hug. Now, I wouldn't want to embarrass him because he's here, so I won't mention Mr. Tuttle's name. Oh, sorry about that. But anyway, do you know that now at church, if I don't give him a hug, hello, or goodbye, he'll sometimes come up and say, Kevin, I know exactly what he's going to say. I haven't had my hug today. Oh, I love giving Mr. Tuttle a hug. As a matter of fact, he sent an email recently, and it said, hugs are like boomerangs. When you give them, they come right back. Something like that. So even sending me that makes me feel like he enjoys hugs now. And I told my congregation, I said, well, if you don't appreciate hugs that much, be thankful you don't live back in the time when the brethren greeted each other with a holy kiss. That's right. Okay. They'll accept my hugs then. Okay. But no, you have to be careful with that. Make sure that you don't make other people feel uncomfortable, because your goal is to fill their emotional tank, not empty it. So we have to know how to treat others. We need to know what their love language is. Some of you have probably read that book, The Five Love Languages. I call it, for this sermon, the five encouraging languages. So how can you encourage people? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Know how to pass on God's encouragement. Serving others at the feast can make you so encouraged yourself. I'm amazed at how much goes on behind the scenes here. And you don't realize how many of you right here sitting here are involved in it. But just the sound engineers alone are working long before you get here. They're working in a little place right back here in the hallway, back there at the back, and they're spending lots and lots of time serving you so that you'll have a fantastic feast. It is almost impossible, I think, for you to serve at the feast and not have your emotional tank filled. It's a wonderful experience. God says it's more blessed to give. I thank God for all of you that are here that have served this feast or will serve at this feast to help the rest of us to enjoy it. You don't have to turn to these, but let me read a few scriptures. Leviticus 23:34 says, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days of the Feast of Booths to the Lord, you shall celebrate it." Thessalonians 5:11, New International Version. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." What are we supposed to be doing? "Just as in fact you are doing, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for the due season we shall reap if we faint not." Galatians 6:9. Let's not faint. Let's find ways to encourage others. Hebrews 10:23-25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Do you see the day drawing near? Do you see what's happening out there? It is time for us to become encouragers, to learn how to become encouragers. As times get rough, as times get worse, tomorrow there's a group that's been planning for years to begin to build the temple again on the Holy Mount, or right next to the Holy Mount. They're going to march tomorrow in the old city. They've got some money to set the cornerstone. They got some money to start the temple, and they're going to march up there. Do you think this is going to cause a problem? Do you know that the Muslims, they control the Temple Mount, where many people believe God's going to set up the Mount of Zion, that he's going to rule from that very spot or that area. When it says go up to the mountain of the Lord, that area could possibly be raised to a much higher height and water flowing from it. Of course, when that happens, there is going to be joy, there is going to be encouragement flowing from that mountain to everyone. But we know the times are short, and it says all the more as we understand these days are going to be coming to an end. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another." How do you keep the feast? "Without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." We can do this at the feast. Let me talk a little bit more specifically how we can do this at this feast. I'm going to read 1 John 3:18. "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." I like this verse because it tells us that we have to do something. We have to be actionable. We have to take a plan and make out a plan. I laugh a little bit, but my mother wanted to encourage our son to participate in the feast because as a teenager, he didn't seem to be very enthusiastic about the sermon and sermonettes and things. and being at the feast in general, he had other ideas of what was fun and enjoyable. So she made out this list. I still have it. She assigned him to do, I don't know how many, but so many of this list while he was at the feast. And that would help him with his feast money and some other things that he would get to do at the feast. This was something that he had to make sure he did. Now, of course, this is talking to our teenager. Make dinner for someone. Pay it forward. Write a note. Pray for someone. Send flowers. Volunteering. Give compliments, kind words. Work late to help someone. Visiting the sick. Give a financial gift. Spend time with the elderly. Lend an ear. Send a text. Write a thank you note. Tweet. Email. Very interesting. My wife helped my son to enjoy the feast because he didn't know how. He didn't know the right way to. Do we practice these things? Are we doing these things? Let's not forget those people that are not here. If there were more people that are listening online yesterday than were here at services, how many people out there need encouragement from us? I remember one feast site, they set up a microphone and a little camera, and it after services, and people would come up and say hello to those people that were listening online. That must have been really encouraging. If you know someone that had to stay back home, give them a call. Write them a note. I have a friend that's back home, and I thought, okay, I'm going to call him, but then I decided not to. You know why? Because he loves written letters. He loves the words. I have never seen anyone write more encouraging letters than this one man, but he hasn't able to come to the feast this year. So I'm going to write him a letter and send it to him because I'm trying to figure out what is his encouragement language. What is the way he likes to be encouraged? Do you know how your mate likes to be encouraged? Children, do you know how your parents like to be encouraged? I'll give you a hint. God loves those who are obedient to him. So, children, if you want to impress your parents, dare say shock them, when you get back to your hotel or wherever you get to stay, do something without being asked. Put away your clothes. If you have a dishwasher in your place, put up the dishes that are clean. I love the fact that children are the best at making their parents' eyes light up. You do not know how much power you have. You do not know how much encouragement you have in your little bodies, or big bodies, depending on how old you are. So we need to find ways to encourage others. When you do what your parents say, you show them a love that they can't get from anywhere else. When we show God our Father that we are obeying him, you are doing that by being here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you know that God doesn't have an emotional tank like we do, but I can't imagine him not being encouraged when he sees all of you sitting in these seats, when he sees you and the effort that you had to take to come here to the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's talk about, I have this book called The Five Love Languages of Children. And it applies to adults, it applies to children. You can apply it in any way you want to. But I was so struck by Ross Chapman's book, and many of you, I hope, have already heard this and seen this, but I want to bring it up in case you need to figure out a way to serve others, to fill their emotional tank. How can we become a source of encouragement? Words of affirmation. You know, I was working at Big Sandy on the farm, had the best job in the world. I was working on the farm, well, one of the reasons is because I got to deliver the milk, and my future wife, Rachel, worked in the kitchen. So that was a good reason to work on the farm. Anyway, sometimes they would tease her and say, "Rachel, the milkman's coming." So, anyway, so I got volunteered for milking the cows every so often on the Sabbath day in the morning. And so I would have to get up at 5 in the morning in January in Big Sandy. It's pretty chilly down there. I didn't bring the clothes to be doing this, so I was a little bit cold. And I must have mentioned this in a letter back home, but I didn't. I'm sure I didn't dwell on it. I hope I didn't dwell on it. But anyway, within a week, a package came for me, and it was from my mom. You know, when you receive a gift from someone, isn't it so exciting? It's hard not to be a little kid, and as soon as I was in that mailroom, to rip it open! You know how little kids, when they get a... Oh, boy, you could have spent a lot of time folding this nice ribbon and putting a nice bow on there, but boy, it is ripped open quickly because kids love gifts. And do you know, oftentimes at the feast, I'll see a little kid walking around with lots of little gifts. Just little trinkets here and there, and they'll stop and hand a gift off to someone, and that someone is excited and encouraged. But you know who's much more excited? That little kid going around, after he's given that one present, he wants to go to the next person to give it to them and see their face, and the next one. So who is getting more encouragement? The giver is getting more encouragement. I open up that package, and do you know what was in there? There were these insulated coveralls. Yes! I was going to be warm going to milk those cows. It was exciting. And do you know what? As encouraging as that was, I reached into the pocket. You know, these coveralls sometimes have lots of pockets. As a matter of fact, this one had 11. I reached my hand in my first pocket, and I pulled up. What is this? A note. Hello, Kevin. Thinking about you. Laura. That's my sister. Wow. I said, wait a minute. I reached another pocket. From Mom. Mom said, we love you. Wow. I started going through these pockets, and every pocket had a note in it. Now, there are 6 kids in my family and my parents, so there were 8 notes total, one from every person. And my mom even got my dad to write a note, so that was really encouraging. Well, what about the other pockets? My mom added a few notes to fill out the 11, so there was a note in every pocket. Do you know, to this day, and when I think about that, I get encouragement. And words of affirmation are even better for me than gifts. I know that because I'm excited about those little notes. That's what excites me even today. The gift was wonderful, and I don't know who doesn't like getting gifts, but can you figure out, those that are your loved ones, your children or your parents or others, what is their love language? You can do all you want. You can give someone as many hugs as you want, but if that's not their love language, that's not filling their emotional tank. So words of affirmation are one of those things that is wonderful to give to others. That's one way to fill their emotional tanks. What about acts of service? I can give my wife all the words of affirmation that I want, but do you know that really what gets to her heart is acts of service? If she comes home and she sees the clothes are already folded when she had planned on folding them, she lights up. I get a hug. What do I need? A hug. So she gives me what I need almost immediately. Acts of service. Do you remember the old saying, actions speak louder than words? For some people emotionally, that simple act of service is what they need. I've already talked about it a little bit, but receiving gifts. In every society throughout human history, giving gifts has been perceived as an expression of caring. Giving gifts is universal because there is something inside the human psyche that says, if you care for someone, you will give to him or her. For some people, gift giving may fill an emotional tank the quickest. The gifts need not to be expensive or elaborate. As they say, it's the thought that counts. And that's really too true for those people that love gifts. Even something as simple as a homemade card or a few cheerful flowers will do the trick. Do you know a way that you can give to others? Well, you can do it by gifts, or what is another encouraging language that people love? Quality time. Your life is your time. When you give your time to others, you're giving your life to others. Have you ever thought about it that way? You only have so many minutes in your life. When you spend it with someone else, you're giving it to them. You're sharing with them. Everyone's emotional tank can be filled by giving quality time. Giving her or him your undivided attention is one of the best ways you can show how you care. When I was telling you about little children and Jude and some other kids, you just got to give it in the right amount the smaller they are. There's not a right amount when you're older. When you're in a nursing home, there's really no limit to the amount of time you can spend with someone, and they'll still be filling their emotional tank. I wonder, how many of us that are sitting on the couch and watching our favorite sporting event, such as myself, and my daughter walks in the room, how many of us will mute the TV and not try to mute our daughter? Isn't it a hard thing to do? How can you give your child quality time? It's interesting because my daughter seems to know exactly when I'm really in tune to something. And to be honest, sometimes she has to say, "Dad, Dad, 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 Dad." And do you know what? Sometimes that doesn't get my attention. But then when my wife says, "Kevin, yeah, your daughter's been trying to talk to you." "Oh, okay. Now, at that time, I should not only mute the television, I should shut it off. There are only certain times I have left with my daughter that she's going to want to come and talk to me. It shouldn't matter that she can read that when I'm watching the national news, I'm so intent on that national news that I don't take the time to talk to her. If that's the time she wants to talk because she doesn't feel close to me at that time, if I'm not paying attention to her, if I'm focused on something else, do you notice your children doing that? Have you ever seen that happen to your children? My wife and I, we could just get into a conversation and there's our daughter. She says, she's trying to interrupt. We've taught her how to interrupt politely. But the fact is that she is there moving and just cannot control herself as long as we're talking. We come to a stopping point and say, "Yes, what did you need?" She looks at us like this. Oftentimes she's forgotten what she was going to tell us. But really what she was telling me is, "I need some emotional time. I need some time with you." So we got that so clearly that I talked to my daughter and I said, "You know, just tell me, Dad, I need your attention." Okay? And she says it just like that. I know that at that time, she wants my undivided attention. And I tease her quite often when she's getting active and things like that and moving around and always causing kinds of noises that distract us. And I say, "Kayla, do you need some attention?" And when my daughter needs attention, if I get it to her, she is just as happy as can be. And some of the best attention she can get is when I tickle her. So she loves to be tickled to a certain extent. And she always asks me, "Where are you ticklish, Dad?" She doesn't know that, but she's going to hear for the first time that I'm very ticklish. I think I've just doomed myself, but I have held back laughing every time she's tickled me because I didn't want her to go like some children and just tickle, 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 and always have to laugh every second that she's tickling me. But she tickles me on the bottom of my feet, and you don't know how hard it is to not laugh. When she tickles me and behind my ear, she doesn't know that I'm dying inside. Now she knows, and she won't stop until she hears me laugh, so I think I've just doomed myself to a lot of laughter. But that's okay, that's okay. But she enjoys tickling, so that is another one that I can talk about. And that is physical touch. As I told you, I'm a hugger, and that physical touch to me, it's a pat on the back, is wonderful. We have long known the emotional power of physical touch. That's why we pick up babies and touch them tenderly. It gives us just as much pleasure to hold that baby as it does the baby that we're holding tenderly. Long before an infant understands the meaning of the word love, he or she feels loved by physical touch. You've heard of babies that are put in nurseries and orphanages where there's not enough adults around. There's no end to the problems that it causes not to be touched early and often as a child, as a baby. Your baby, when it's your baby, it's almost impossible for a mother not to want to hold their child almost the whole time. Many people understand that their love language is physical touch. I want to be very careful with this because, again, this can be emotional drain on certain people. So you need to be able to read people. And do you know yourself? Can you read people? When I look out at you, I've been teaching all of my life. And I feel like I can read my students or audience. And I can see when they're interested in what's being said. I can see when they're attentive. And also I can see when they need a break. Can you see in others what they need? If you can, that is a valuable tool in replenishing people's emotional tanks. The more ways we find to encourage others, the more joy we will experience. Just like that boomerang, when you give someone a hug, it's an immediate return. When you show love to others, when you encourage others, you will be encouraged yourself. God is our perfect encourager. God knows what we need and when we need it and gives it to us in just the right time. Sometimes our tanks will be low when we're going through trials. But God also says, count that all a joy when we go through those trials. Because when we come through the other side, when our emotional tanks are full, you can help others through their trials. No matter what someone else's problem is, whether you've had experience in it or know what to do, you all can learn and learn more effectively of how to encourage others. The more you spend time with others, the more you get to know their love language, their encouraging language, the more it is that you can give to them. If you want to love, encourage God, keep His commandments. What a blessing it is when our children obey and become happy, successful people. We are God's children. As much as you love your children, He loves us more. And He wants us all to be encouraged. Become a source of encouragement.